First Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Paul, writing to those at Corinth, uses the word sleep, referring to death for believers. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into your word, I ask that you'll guide me and direct me and help me to be a help and a blessing to your people. And I pray for all that takes place in this church, whether it's the offerings that we give, the prayers that we pray, the teaching of the classes, the preaching of the word. May it all bring honor and glory unto you and accomplish your purpose. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. My wife and I have been married for 45 years. And we've been on a journey together during that 45 years. We've made a lot of trips. When we got married, we loaded everything we had in the back seat of a 68 Ford automobile with a 428 engine in it and drove to Camp Lejeune. I was a Marine stationed at Camp Lejeune, and we went out there and rented one of these little efficiency apartments where all you had to bring was your sheets and your pillow. And we had sheets, but we didn't have a pillow. And we didn't have a broom, and we didn't have a mop, and we didn't have salt and pepper. And, you know, back in those days, people get married, everybody didn't give showers and all that kind of stuff unless you was in some good Bible-believing church somewhere maybe, you know. And so we didn't get any of those kind of things. We went to McDonald's and got about half a dozen packs of salt and pepper and took them back home with us, you know. And when we were just about starved to death, my mother took mercy on us and sent us a big old box of cucumbers and tomatoes and stuff like that, you know, and kept us through the month, you know. We went on a journey. We were on a trip. In 1971, we moved back to Rock Hill, and we got a little apartment on Crest Street near Glencairn Gardens, a little duplex apartment. The rent was $65 a month. It was a two-bedroom apartment with a little gas wall furnace, tile floors. The only problem was the creek behind it would get backed up when it had a lot of rain and it would flood. And so every time it rained, I'd be out there shoveling to make a route around the duplex, you know, so the water wouldn't come into the house. And in 1974, we had a child born, and we built our first house. In 1975, we got saved, and the next year, 1976, we moved to Springfield, Missouri, and started in Bible college. That time, we put everything we owned in the largest U-Haul truck you can get, one of those with the cab over, you know, and then hooked a 1973 Plymouth Cuda to the back of it and took the drive shaft out from under it so it could, otherwise, you know, it would keep turning and it'd mess up transmission, see. So you see these people with these big old campers pulling Jeeps and certain kinds of four-wheel drive vehicles because those, the transmission doesn't turn when it's in neutral. And so they can not have to take the drive shaft out. And so we drove to Springfield, Missouri, 800 and something miles, and we had to pray to find a place to live and get in it as quick as we could because we didn't know when we got out there that you know, we grew up in Rock Hill. If you wanted to rent a house, you went over, you talked to whoever owned it, and you'd move in, you know, and then you start paying rent. Well, you got out there, and you had to pay the first month's rent and the last month's rent and a security deposit, and we didn't have that much money, you know. So the Lord worked it out for us. We graduated. We came back here, started this church. And we had three children when we came back here. And I got a job back with Duke Power as a welder and got the church off its feet and on its feet, I mean, or maybe off of them, I'm not sure. And then we moved in this building in 1985. We started church in 79. In 85, we moved into this building. 10 classrooms, 11 classrooms, or 10 in an office. and this auditorium back to where the pews stop. And that night, our fourth child was born, Rebecca. Joy was at the hospital giving birth when the church was moving into the facility here for their first service. We've buried Joy's mother and stepdad and my dad. Our good friend Everett Cooper died and has been buried. We drove to Texas twice, 2,500 miles out there and across Texas and back home. Twice on vacation to spend time with them and go see them. We've taken a couple of scenic cruises. Go down to, one was at Jacksonville, Florida, which I would recommend to anybody. When you drive all the way to Fort Lauderdale, you don't think you're ever going to get there. And then when you're coming home, you get off the boat tired and then got to drive all the way home. You eat breakfast, lunch, and supper, and you're still in the state of Florida. And it takes a long time to get home from down there around Miami and Hollywood, and we went on one cruise out of there. We visited the Bahamas and the Grand Cayman Islands and the Florida Keys, and those were some thrilling sights to see. We got in twice in a glass-bottom boat, one at the Grand Cayman Islands, and my wife and the other preacher's wife got sick. It was kind of like you walk down 2 or 3 feet down in the boat, and the whole bottom of the boat was glass. You could see all that coral and the beautiful fish and all that sort of thing, and the boat was doing like this, you know, and it got a little warm down there, you know. There was no air conditioning in the boat, and so they said, we got to go, you know. And then another time we went to Florida Keys. They took us out to the only coral reef in the United States, because you have to have water temperatures about 80 degree average for coral to grow. And so Florida Keys is the only coral reef in the United States. And so we went out there and saw fish, you know, and it had a boat that lifted up a big 4x8 sheet of plywood or something, you know, and you could see the bottom through it. And those were exciting things that we did. We went to Myrtle Beach one time when the dolphins were moving in season. They move from warm water to cold water, just like birds move, you know, with the changing of the seasons. And we counted 16 dolphins diving and feeding up on the shed and that sort of thing. Just we could look out the window of the hotel room and just watch them. You know, they were very close. You could see them real well. And then another time at Jacksport, and we were going out on a cruise boat, the dolphins were swimming right along beside the boat while we were looking over at them. And those were amazing things to see. We flew the church sent us to the Ukraine so we could preach for our missionaries on their 15th anniversary. They asked me to come and speak for them, and the church graciously sent us, and we went to, flew from Charlotte to New York and landed at is it Kennedy Airport in New York? With Kennedy out at Jamaica, Queens. That's where we landed. And we had to get on a Turkish air flight and fly across the ocean to Istanbul, Turkey. It took 11 hours of flying time across the ocean at night to get there. Got to Istanbul. Plane was late. We had to stay an extra day in Istanbul and then go to the Ukraine. Repeat trip, you know, same situation, not late, but, you know, same length of time to fly across the ocean. Those are rather amazing trips. But one day soon, we're going to take a trip that's beyond all compare. We could take the rest of the time tonight and let all of you give a testimony of the best trip you ever been on, the most exciting. I know Sue and Dick went to Florida with, they went to Hawaii with Don and Rose and Mark and Gwen, and I don't know who else went. You went? The Hansons went. Okay. They took the boys too? Wow, man, that's all right. And Hawaii is an amazing place, and I know that was a fantastic trip. It might be the trip of your lifetime. But there's coming a better trip, one that's beyond compare, the trip that where the Lord takes us to heaven to be with Him. He's going to call us up. I flew in a 747 airplane 37,000 feet in the atmosphere. 37,000 feet. You divide that by 5,000, it'll tell you how many miles it was that we were up in the air. It's quite a distance. But we're going to be caught up to meet Jesus and travel to a place called heaven, a place we've read about in the Bible and been taught about and we've wondered about and we've looked at the amazing things the Bible says about heaven, about the new Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband with a street of gold and the gates of pearl and the foundations of precious stones, and the things that God makes don't rust, bust, and collect dust like the things that men make. They're going to last forever and eternally. And so they're going to be amazing. In John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So Christ is preparing a place for us, and he's going to come and take us home. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, we've read many times how the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So the trip we're going to take will be a transforming trip. We'll be transformed in the moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll receive our new glorified body that will be like Christ's body. The dead who are believers will rise from the graves. Over in the state of Louisiana, their whole state is below sea level. And they do all they can to try to build up a place to build a house, or they build it on stilts with pilings to try to keep it from being flooded when serious rains come. Lake Pontchartrain is higher than the city of New Orleans. And they have those big dikes and pumps to keep the water out of the city. And when the hurricane came in, Katrina, some of those dikes broke and the city was flooded with water and the people were stranded, and it was just an amazing and horrific thing that took place. Well, the Lord is going to take us to heaven to be with him forevermore, and the dead are going to rise. In Louisiana, every time they have a flood, graves can't hold down the coffins. The water gets under them and pops them up. And they'll have pictures of them floating down the streams and floating around in the cities and all that sort of thing because of the sea level problem they have and the type of soil they have. It's a very swampy place. Now, that's good for alligators, but it's not good for graveyards. But it won't make any difference when Jesus comes, because all who are saved are coming up out of the grave. And if we're alive at that day, we'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to be a transforming trip because we will all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We who are living will be changed. Those who come up out of the grave will be changed at the last trump. And that's referring to the last trump for the church. That's not the last trump for Israel, because the trumpet will sound to regather them in the tribulation period. Now, gravity won't hold us down in that day. They made a movie one time in Hollywood. It was called White Men Can't Jump. And it was, I think, about basketball players. You know, had black men could jump, but white men couldn't jump. I'm going to tell you the truth. Fat boys can't jump. I get about an inch or two off the ground with all my might. If I leap straight up in the air, you might be able to see daylight under my feet. But I'm not going very far, and I'm coming right back down up here on this platform. It'd sound like a drum beat. Boom! I'd come right back down. But one day's coming, and gravity will not hold me down any longer. I'm going to be with the Lord, and so are you. Time will no longer age us. I'm getting older. I just turned 65 years old. I have a Medicare card in my billfold. I'm waiting for my Humana supplement card to come in the mail. It's already been put into effect 9/1/2016. And so time has aged me. I've lost my hair up on the top. I've got wrinkles. I've got issues with my knees and my legs and arthritis, and you know, I go to sleep with Ben Gay, you know, and I'm not talking about anything but lotion, you know, that you put on you to feel better. And that arthritis is painful, but I won't worry about that any longer. Time will no longer change me or you. Disease will no longer plague us. We won't ever hear the word cancer or heart disease again when we go to be with Jesus in heaven forevermore. Nobody's going to have diabetes in heaven. Nobody's going to have heart disease. No, Pete won't need that ticker up in heaven with a titanium heart valve, you know, that's pumping away on him, you know. And Brother Bobby won't be in the hospital. We'll have new bodies and we'll be with the Lord, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord, the Scripture says. Death will no longer separate us from our loved ones. We won't have to worry about our mom or our dad or our grandparents passing, or of our children passing away. You know, I'm at an age where I've been very fortunate that our children have been healthy and that sort of thing, but a lot of people my age have had children that have already passed away, and what a hardship that is on those who love them. And I talked to a lady at the nursing home while I was feeding my mother this past week, and I noticed that lady had been looking a little sad. And I asked her, I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "I just lost my husband 3 weeks ago." And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." She said, "He was 48 years old and he died with prostate cancer." She said when they found it, it had already spread all throughout his body, and it was too late by the time they found it even. And then she began to talk and tell me about her relationship with her husband and how good he was to her and how he had left her a couple of insurance policies and the home is paid for, and just, you know, done so well by her that she won't have to worry financially and all that sort of thing. And we began to talk about that, and I thought, you know, there's coming a day where death will no longer separate husbands and wives. It'll no longer separate mamas and daddies from children, because Jesus Christ is going to take us to heaven and we're going to live forever and forever and forever. It's going to be a transforming trip that we're going on. We who are now mortal are going to become immortal. People would like to live without dying. There's only one way to do that, and that's if you know Christ is your Savior. Because those who are alive at His coming will be taken up and transformed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We who are now, our bodies are corruptible. We get sick. We're growing old. We're dying. We will become incorruptible. It's a transforming trip that we're going on. Secondly, it'll be a triumphant trip. Christ Himself shall come and call us up. Not one believer will be left behind. Not one believer will be lost. Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against His church." Jesus will descend into the realm of the prince of the power of the air and take out victoriously everyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ. Paul said there'll be a crown of righteousness for those who love His appearing. In our militaries, those that distinguish themselves in combat receive medals. I was in Hotel Company, 2nd Battalion, 7th Marine Regiment of the 1st Marine Division in Vietnam. A sister company to ours went on 60-day missions at the same time with us. And we'd cover different parts of a valley or a mountain region. And our goal would be to sweep through those areas. And it were called search and destroy missions. Our goal was to search out the enemy and destroy them. And in one particular mission, when I was wounded, a staff sergeant by the name of Kellogg received the Medal of Honor in the sister company to our company. They were in an intense battle, and he, though wounded, pulled men to safety, you know, who were wounded and received the Medal of Honor. And that's a great thing. That's an amazing thing. But something much greater is one day Jesus Christ is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and place a crown of righteousness upon all those who love His appearing. That was the highest military decoration that could be received. But one day we're going to meet the captain of our salvation, our deliverer, who will reward us for our faithfulness unto Him. He's our champion who fought the victory and won, and He's victorious. And we're going on a transforming trip that will be a triumphant trip when we go home to be with the Lord, delivered from this present evil world. Thirdly, it's going to be a timely trip. God knows the day and the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. Some think God's late. I'll be honest with you. I'd like for him to go ahead and come a lot of days. Hardship, aches and pains, suffering, sorrow. There's times I'd like for him to go ahead and come. I'd like to see the Lord. I'd like to be home in heaven. I'd like to see the place he's prepared for me. But God has a perfect time in mind. He knows the day and the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. There will be mockers who will say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 says, or chapter 3 says, there'll be mockers in the last days. When Jesus came in Bethlehem, it was the perfect time. There were many Jews that were waiting for the Messiah. Now, the majority of Israel did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but there were some in Israel looking for and waiting for the Messiah. We found Simeon and Anna at the temple who were waiting for the Messiah. Simeon had no doubt lived a long, full life and said, "Now, Lord, you'll let me pass that I've seen the salvation of the Lord." The promises to Abraham and David and all of Israel, they waited. A couple of thousand years passed by until Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 tells us it was in the fullness of time that God sent forth his Son born of a woman. The fullness of time to save those that believe. And we're warned to watch because his coming could take place at any time. We saw in the last message, the second coming of Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, where twice there it tells us that Revelation reveals things which must shortly come to pass and things where the time is at hand. And these refer to the dispensation aspect of the grace of God, the church age in which we live. This is the last age until Jesus comes to take us home to heaven to be with him forevermore. We don't know when the end of it is going to be. We don't know when that last person will get saved. We don't know when that appointed day is, but God knows exactly when it is. He's not waiting to think up a time to come. He knows exactly when Jesus is going to come and take his bride home to heaven. Christ will come to deliver us from the wrath of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Thessalonian people turn from idols to God to be delivered from the wrath of God. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 9, it says basically the same thing again. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation. Those people who live on this earth that don't know Christ as Savior are referred to as earth dwellers. Their whole focus is on this earth, and our focus is on heaven. They're looking to gain things of this earth. We're looking to leave this earth behind and go to heaven and be with the Lord. These earth dwellers will go through the tribulation. Revelation 6 through 19 describes some of the awful judgment events that they will go through that you and I will be delivered from. There'll be war and death. There'll be the four horses that are revealed. Famine, war, death, and then the horse that is gray will come. The horse of death and hell follows after him. And it won't be Clint Eastwood in a movie that used that passage of Scripture to describe him as a character that he played in a movie that he portrayed. It will be hell and death for sure. They will kill with the sword and with hunger and death and beasts of the earth. And the souls of men that are beheaded will be seen who believe on the Lord and they were beheaded for their faith. There'll be a great earthquake. There'll be a cataclysm in the heavens. No doubt asteroids will fall to the earth. And the great men of earth and the rich men of earth and the chief men and the poor men will beg. They'll go into the dens and holes and they'll beg for the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And then it says, and from the wrath of the Lamb. The day will come when judgment will begin. That's just the beginning of the judgments in Revelation chapter 6. And it goes all the way through to chapter 19, describing all these judgments that will transpire in the tribulation. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm delivered from that. I'm glad I don't have to worry about living through those things. And many won't live through it. Those are just the beginning of sorrows. But we're going to be in heaven when that takes place. We're going to be enjoying the blood-washed throng. We're going to be singing praises unto God. And we'll meet the living creatures referred to as beasts. And we'll sing the songs of God while they praise the Lord with us, ascribing adoration to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who saved us and washed us from our sin. The time of tribulation upon the earth, our time will be in heaven with the Lord. The Scripture says over and over, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." As believers, we can be comforted about our future. But the unbelieving world, we should never give them comfort about their future. It's going to be a horrible thing. They should run to God and be saved to be delivered from. It's going to be a transforming trip. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. A triumphant trip. Christ, our deliverer, will come and take us home. It'll be a timely trip. God knows exactly when it'll take place. And then it'll be a thrilling trip. You and I might be the generation that are alive when Jesus comes again. Matthew 28, verse 20 speaks of the end of the world. The word world there comes from the Greek language, the word aeon, which means age. The end of the age. Christ is with us until the end of the age, and then we're going to be with Him in heaven according to His promise. We've been thrilled to see a few sights of the things of this earth, thrilled to have our children born. I've seen two of our children. I held my wife's hand while she gave birth. The first one, they didn't do that back in those days. She went to the hospital and had the baby shortly after. And then the two boys out in Springfield, Missouri, I was with her when both of them were born. And was I with you when Becca was born? Okay, so three of them. My memory's not as good as hers. I didn't have the babies. I didn't pass out or anything like that, but boy, she squeezed my hand. I thought the fingers were going to break there a couple of times, you know. Women go through an amazing thing to deliver a child and give birth, especially with natural childbirth. I'm thrilled to see people get saved here at Bible Baptist Church. I'm thrilled when they follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and I'm thrilled to see them become a member of the church and be faithful in their attendance and grow in their faith. I've been thrilled to see some of the sights of the world. But all the wonders of the world pale into comparison with the trip that we're going on when Jesus calls us up to heaven to be with Him forevermore. Thrills beyond compare. We'll be changed, transformed into a new being, a new creation. His coming is greater deliverance than Moses when he led Israel out of Egypt. The Jewish people, probably over 1 million of them, walked across the wilderness. God parted the Red Sea. But listen, Christ is going to lift all who are saved to heaven to be with Him forevermore. It'll be greater in power than the parting of the Red Sea, the lifting of the dead out of their graves, and the alive ones will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It'll be a greater demonstration of His deity than when He spoke and the winds and the seas obeyed Him. He's going to shout and the dead are going to rise and we're going to be caught up into heaven with Him. When He descends with a shout, the dead rise and we are caught up, we'll be changed. It'll be the greatest day of history. People would debate for hours, when is the greatest day of history? They would talk about headlines and peace after the wars, you know, and all of those kind of things, trying to find the greatest day in history. Listen, Jesus is not going to send for us. He's coming to get us. It'll be the greatest day of history. He Himself will descend, and He will reunite us with all the saints that have gone before. Even so, them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. They're going to be reunited with their body and changed, and we're going to be caught up and changed. And we're going to see our loved ones who are saved, who've gone on before. A transforming trip and a triumphant trip and a timely trip and a thrilling trip. And it'll be a transparent trip. Webster defines that may be distinctly seen through, ingenious, obvious. We're going to be able to see then as we have never been able to see before. We're going to have an education that day, an understanding in that day that we don't have now. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see all those that have gone on before. We're going to see heaven and the place He's prepared for us. Christ is going to come to receive us. He's coming to finish His redemption for us. He's going to reunite us with our loved ones gone before, and He's going to reward us if we're faithful in serving Him. So let all of us deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going on the trip of a lifetime. Could be very, very soon. Let's stand together. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word, and we offer our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.